Welcome to What the Hex, your source for Warhammer Underworlds in under 30 minutes. I'm Davey, and with me today are Phil and Aaron. How you doing, guys?
Doing all right.
Doing pretty good. How about yourself?
Doing just fine. I'd like to say I'm fully recovered from our trials this past weekend. You two, at least, would know I'm lying.
And, yep. see right through you.
Yeah. Our show today, we're going to be covering how we did at the WAPACA tournament. For context, this is a tournament that dropped same weekend as the Godsworn Hunt and Molag's Mob dropped. So those warbands and cards were not in rotation for this. Before we get started, I always want to say thanks to those who've left a review, who've posted comments, whether it be on the Facebook threads where we drop something or over Twitter. It's awesome. You can talk to us at WTHcast. And we're always happy to see any reviews you drop us on iTunes or whatever pod reviewer you use. Always happy to hear your thoughts, or if you just want to email us, that's cool too. So this episode, like we said, we're covering this tournament. We're going to be going over the factions, we'll give you a quick recap of what we played. We'll go through the games we played, and then we'll talk what our thoughts are moving forward. If you were running that deck again, would you make any changes? And what is your next Warhammer Underworlds project? So this was held up in WAPACA. Aaron, you got a brief rundown of who all we saw there, or is that Phil has been jotting that down?
I left that note. So yeah, I just wanted to make it clear to people so they know sort of what the spread was. The warbands that showed up at this tournament were Reavers, Skaven, Briarthorns, Farstriders, Gurzags, and Eyes of the Nine. So we didn't see Cursebreakers, which was probably good for everybody, but that'll explain why they didn't show up in any of our matches.
Yeah, and somehow with the, 14, 15 people that ended up, there were a number of drops, and this is always going to be a problem because this is a tournament that happens as a pre-tournament event for the Age of Sigmar WAPACA tournament. It starts at 8:30, goes from 8:30 p.m. to 1:30 a.m. With the finals supposed to be happening the next day. So it's kind of a screwy time, and people will inevitably drop. But yeah, weirdly, in the 14 that were there, 3 of them were Eyes of the Nine, so we were going in pretty sure that Phil was going to be the only one, and we were super wrong.
The best kind of wrong.
Yeah. All right, well, we'll get it started. We'll start out, we'll talk about first game. Before you hit me with your first game, Aaron, give the listener a quick review of what faction you took, what your deck was, and what you think your goals were, if you can remember them. And we will check the historical record to hold you accountable.
Well, and if you don't, I'm sure someone else will. I was playing Skaven, Spike Claws Swarm, and my approach was an all-in objective-based deck. So I think when people say they play objective-based, they pepper it with a lot of other useful cards and other useful strategies, whereas I picked every objective-related card I could find and threw it all in one deck, and then included a bunch of different movement shenanigans to get me on those objectives. Yeah. My goal was to drive the other player crazy. No, just to see if I could just run circles around my opponents, which I think I accomplished to varying degrees. I guess that was the gist of what I was set out to do. So
tell me about your confidence level going in. What was your number of losses with this deck before you kicked it off? And
I feel like you guys intentionally hyped me up just to get in my head. Because I don't know, I played less than 5 probably games with this deck, and I think I was 4-1 maybe with that one loss, as Davey likes to bring up, was only by one glory. So I was feeling pretty hot, but then again, when you're playing with the likes of you two, I mean, it's pretty easy to sit there on my high horse.
We were getting a lot of our practice in, because we got up early enough and in the day to be able to sit down and before our Underworlds tournament play a bunch of Underworlds. So
as you do,
yeah.
Just to remind myself how it works. Yeah.
And to be fair, your one loss in practice was during the opening ceremonies where you and I were sort of pantomiming our moves so we wouldn't bother people with talking during the opening ceremonies.
Disrupt it. Yeah. That's true. So, I mean, it was real good reps.
Yes. Anyway, game one. Go.
Yeah, let's jump right into it. Match one. So I played a gentleman, Matt McCormick. He had the Thorns of the Briar Queen. I'd never actually played against them, and if I had, maybe I would have reconsidered the types of cards I was bringing or the deck I was playing, because, man, there are a lot of dudes to get around there. Ended up losing to him 1-2. I won the first game, actually, so, like, again, I was riding high given my previous wins and taking them down, but I sort of failed to recognize that the only reason I was really winning that first game is because he did, I think, at least 4, if not 5 attacks from the queen at one of my dangle bros and missed every single time. I want to say not even that I defended it, but he just straight up missed every time. And when someone dedicates, I don't know, 4 or 5 activations to doing absolutely nothing, it's hard actually to lose that game.
Yeah.
So that was maybe the main reason why I was able to pull that initial one out by, I don't know, 10 or so.
It's that 3 sword attack. It's somehow this total heartbreaker. But yeah.
Yeah, so. Exactly. And that's absolutely what happened. But then in the subsequent rounds when he found his dice, or maybe he threw his garbage ones out and he picked up some new ones, he was able to get the job done just by covering more ground than I could. At one point I made a dumb earthquake move where I only moved off one of his dudes from an objective that he also had supremacy. But he was able to move them all back on and beat me with that 5-point swing with supremacy and our only way out. So
why was there a reason you only?
Yeah, I didn't want to say. I was getting a little greedy because I wanted to win my supremacy too. And so instead of completely disrupting him, I thought I could sneak one of my dudes on, and I paid the price.
All right,
that's what you get. He out movement shenanigans me.
Shocking.
So, yeah, who'd have thought?
And his overall strategy was, do you remember anything?
No, it was a mix. And honestly, I think his strategy was to miss with his Briar Queen. it was a handful of objective based stuff just because he's got the numbers, right? And what else did he end up doing? Like he didn't attack all that much, but when he did, he used his queen to pretty good effect. After again, he got his dice working, so he piled up different upgrades on her. So that was kind of the through line that I saw. Though honestly, you played him too, so you might have a better perspective on it than I did.
Sure. Yeah. Obviously, I did not play him in the first round, though. My first round was against Quentin. So just to summarize, I was going with Reavers, Garrick's Reavers, and I had landed on them with just the idea of, like, what happens if this is a warband I can throw a ton of dice with. Like, they have their innate things like Blood Offering, Frenzy, and then some of the universal things, so I can build up a lot of dice. And what cool things can I do with a lot of dice?
So
objectives that improve with accuracy, like Let the Blood Flow. And then weapons that improve that are particularly good if you can add dice to them, like Hero Slayer. If I could have fit them in, we probably would have seen the Shade Glass Dagger and such, but didn't quite happen. So that was the route I was going, was a lot of speed, a lot of accuracy, and hopefully enough damage to see me through. My goals for this, I believe I said I would be disappointed if I didn't make it in the top half, and that my reach goal was to get to the top 4. But then the first game came up, and I was seeing Quentin Bone. Quentin was, he's been in the Midwest AOS / Warhammer scene for quite a while. He's not played a whole bunch of Underworlds, and so not only that, but he was playing Eyes of the Nine, which I have lots of reps against. So I came in feeling pretty decent about my chances of doing okay in this round, and then promptly scored a true tie in the first game of this match. So we ended up something like 8-8 and both standing on 2 objectives. And I was like, okay, cool. And then launched into the next one. And what was giving me trouble is I was so used to playing against Phil's Eyes of the Nine, who he has some passives and then a lot of holding objectives. And Quentin was running these guys a lot more offensive. So I'd rush forward, and all of a sudden, Kacharik and Vortimus are running right back at me, just smashing me right back into my own zone. I was like, oh, no, I need to totally recalculate. So I did manage to take the next two games, and with a just a plus 12 glory differential, I think, is what it ended up. So that was pretty good, a 2-0-1, which, as far as I know, is about as good as a 2-0 for tiebreakers and that sort of thing. So I had a little swagger coming out, but had a good time. I'd played Quentin a long time ago in, like, Warhammer 8th, and so it was good to get across the table with him. And he unfortunately bought me a whole bunch of beers, which was very nice of him and very advantageous for later opponents.
So, I'm surprised with, like, a newer guy to the game, like, you're able to get through three games, no problem. Good job.
Yeah, he was moving pretty quick. He just didn't think too hard about it. So that was, I guess, how we got there. So that was my first round. Meanwhile, Phil?
So a little quick recap. For my Eyes of the Nine, I was trying to play a very objective-focused group with some passive scoring and a whole heap and helping of movement ploys to try and make sure I could get all my guys around everywhere. I was a little bit worried that I had kept too many upgrades and ploys in my deck. I was at 22. Probably should have pared down to 20, but I felt like enough of the cards that I had were doing the same sort of thing. So, like, I had Hidden Paths, and I had the faction-specific Eyes of the Nine card where you can teleport a guy to either a starting hex or an objective hex. So I thought, like, Deceitful Step, that's the one. Thank you very much. So I felt like, yeah, it's not really that big a deal. A lot of these do pretty similar things. And then on the upgrade side, it was stuff like Hero's Mantle or A Destiny to Meet. So I definitely thought that it wasn't going to be the end of the world. So I played the other Quentin. He was playing Magors. And he was also fairly new to playing Underworlds, so I believe he started out by sort of saying something along the lines of, like, oh, it really looks like you know what you're doing, like, I'm not, you know, I'm new, I'm not going to be able to keep up or whatever. He ended up taking second in this tournament. But anyway, so for this game, I ended up losing to him in two, so he beat me both times. First round, it was actually really close. Came down to the very last activation, and he drew a power card, drew into Encroaching Shadows to kill me off of an objective and stop me from scoring. Oh, no. So lost that one by one. But then he promptly followed up in the next game by having an extremely hot hand to start, by basically being able to do a crazy Hidden Paths assassination run with Magor right off the bat and just blew up my back line and beat me by 12 glory, I think. So pretty crushing defeat there in the second round to just soundly end that one.
All right. Well, so the What the Hex team coming into the second round, one win, two losses for our matches. Aaron, what did you get to run up against in round two?
So next, I got to play, I don't know, we say the man of the hour, like the godfather of this large event, this WOPACO event, and then I played Joe Rogers, the Raj, and his Reavers. Listeners, you may hear a theme when we talk about some of these players, and that he too was kind of newer to the game. I think he played a few games, but he wasn't by any means an expert, which I would say then we are well matched, because by no means am I either. But this was harkening back to the games I'm used to, which is to say a medium-sized warband, aggressive warband throwing themselves at me, and then me giggling as I run away from them. So that was my bread and butter. So I was able to take it.
What did your figures, though, do while you were doing that?
Actually, I don't know. I was so far away. Like, I left the room at that point. It was delightful. So I was actually able to win out 2-0. Also, at that point, is I think when the time was starting to hit a lot of the people who were playing, myself included, and I think Raj as well. We were playing a little slower than usual, but it was pretty textbook Reavers running forward and me doing everything I could to ploy them away from me and stick my objectives. So nothing particularly interesting in that regard. He's pretty gracious to sort of accept my uninteractive game for a guy who doesn't play all that much. I hope it wasn't too tedious for him, but yeah, I think it went well.
Well, I think you might have gone to bed after that game.
Yeah. So. So I hope I wasn't the reason.
Probably a full day of prepping and all that. So
But I'm really egotistical, so I'm sure it was probably me.
Yeah, just being right off the table. Sit down, Raj.
Not that, because it was a really boring game, not because it was a particularly devastating game. In fact, he almost had me game two. So
fair enough. I got to run up against Ryan Nickel, who is a famous name in the WAPACA circuit for being quite a good player. He's won WAPACA a number of times in the past as far as the Warhammer tournament, and spoiler alert, he won it this year. I guess it's not a spoiler alert. This is no AOS podcast, but he, after playing on Friday night, he went on and played Saturday, Sunday in the AOS tournament and won best overall. He put down Eyes of the Nine. They looked super sweet. He had a cool display board, which I talked to him a little bit about. He had like a kind of a small display panel, like a piece of wood, and then he textured out some putty, rolled that out, so it kind of faded in and out of the black, and used a textured roller, put some brickwork on it. Anyway, very cool. But I was excited to be playing.
You gonna make one?
What's that?
You gonna make one?
I think I might because we're planning on heading to Adepticon to play in the Grand Clash there. I think that'd be pretty cool. Walk around with your warband on one of those.
Absolutely.
Seems totally doable.
Might be nice.
Yeah. I say that now. We'll see. But Eyes of the Nine again, unbelievably. So running up against, I'm feeling good about this because I know that warband pretty well, as has been mentioned before. Start this off. And Nickel is a real cagey player. Like he knows his stuff well, whatever system it is. I don't think this is his go-to system by any stretch of the imagination, but I definitely knew I was in for a rough one. And started off with yet another true draw. Our first game, we tied. I can't remember what the glory was. It was not particularly high. It might have been 7-7. And I only just barely got back to 7 with a last-minute extreme flank running a guy over. I think I had the option to try for the win, but it was a real low-probability attack where something would have to go off just perfectly, or I could get the safe draw, and I think I ended up going for the safe draw. Next game had I can't remember which order, but we'd split the next two games, so I won one, he won the other. I won mine by a little bit more. We had some entertaining moments, like I sent Garrick off after Tourosh, who was kind of off on his own. I was like, all right, you know, Garrick had already gotten Abyssos Withering, so he'd lost a wound, but three wounds left, and I could get him in a place where he was too far away from Kacharix. So it's like, I can go take a swing on Tourosh. If I miss, no big deal. I'll hang out there and kill him next turn. And Vortimus wandered over, hit him with Racking Change, which Phil's used a couple times against me, but not a bunch. It's a spell, gambit spell, that does one damage and needs two channels to go off, but for every crit you get, it does an extra damage, and he double critted it. So He instigibbed Garrick with a Racking Change and also wounded himself, which was pretty entertaining, and came in crucially later where Vortimus still was hanging out on three wounds, and I was chasing him around with Karsus the Chained with a Glory Seeker upgrade. So I could do three damage from range two, and I kept missing, and then finally on like the last activation, somehow I think there were a lot of people watching at this point, and I don't remember. I guess we were taking a long time, but I did get
we all were watching because like you were getting pretty animated, which is fairly rare for Davey. So like, I just want to see your reactions.
Was I throwing dice, or I don't remember what the animation was.
Every which way. The dice were just a small part of it.
So he was driving me crazy, and I finally managed to chase him down and play both Haymaker and Blood Offering. So I threw 7 dice at Vortimus.
How many successes did you throw?
Apparently only one. I didn't even remember this. You were telling me the next day. You're like, and I can't believe you only rolled one success. I'm like, yeah, I guess I was like still too reeling, but managed to push that through and pop Vortimus on the last round. But it was a very exciting, exciting round. And so we ended up 1-1-1 on that one, and I had it on glory differential plus 6, which I thought meant I won that round, but more on that later. Phil, what were you doing while I was being animated in this game?
I was playing against a gentleman named Meal. He's playing Iron Skulls Boys, which is a pretty good matchup for me.
Is that just so you know? His official name is the Dreaded Meal. Just so you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. So I felt pretty good about this one, with being just generally faster than the orcs, so I could sort of play the avoidance game. Using the blue horror, I just kind of spread the board a bit, and he had a hard time just getting to me. I don't think he had anything like Hidden Paths in his deck or Illusory Fighter or anything to jump around, so he was just relying on that three move. So I managed to get supremacy and our only way out in both games, and then pretty sure that I got making a statement. I'm pretty sure I got in the first which really pushed it over the edge there. And I mean, Gerzag did get into my guys eventually, but it just didn't. Like, it was only in round three where he started chopping, so it didn't really matter at that point. So managed to do a 2-and-out for that one with a plus 18 glory differential. So I guess lessons learned there for orcs is remember that 3 speed isn't always enough, I guess.
Yeah, need some movement shenanigans. You are 1-and-1 at that point, as is Aaron. At this point, I think I'm 2-0, but it turns out I was 1-0-1. Aaron, round three, what'd you run up against?
I don't want to talk about it. Man, this is an example of a sort of the other end of the spectrum where my army sort of falls apart, or my warband falls apart. So I was playing Mike Jordahl's Farstriders. And Davey, I blame this on you because I know you used to play Farstriders, but you don't really play them all that much. And if I would have even played them one time, I would have maybe known that this was a garbage deck for garbage people, and I shouldn't have played it. Because what it boiled down to was I would spread out as much as I could. I'd jump over here, I'd jump over there, I'd sneaky scurry every which way, and it wouldn't matter a lick because he'd plop his dudes in the middle, and wherever I went, you couldn't get away from him, and he'd just pick me off left and right at range, or he would use his speed to catch up to me, no problem. So it seemed very hopeless from my perspective because there was nothing I could do, nowhere I could go to escape his vengeance. Plus, at one of the games, he even rubbed salt into the wound and put all the objectives on my board, no less. Gave me every single one, and then proceeded to dismantle me. So it was demoralizing, to say the least. And I guess that's the sort of thing that, like, when you go all in on a strategy, when you come across a hard counter, there's not much. I don't think there was much I could do with the cards, or at least I'm not good enough with the deck I have to sort of counteract that. So.
Now that specific strategy, I found we did a practice with a Cursebreakers deck that I poached off of maybe Steel City, not sure which, and playing against Phil's objective focus stuff. I piled most of the objectives in his side. And what it does is you can walk onto the one, and then with your range 3, in the case of Storm Sire spell, or in the case of the Far Striders, your shots, you can shoot at a bunch of other objectives while you stand on one, and they keep trying to run on them, so they keep running back into range. So I think it actually is a fairly viable strategy. I mean, obviously, Jordahl demonstrated as such. So
yeah, absolutely. The one saving grace, my one crowning achievement in that, it was that at one point, like, he hidden past one of his dude deep into my range, or deep into my board, thinking that he was just kind of like what Phil, you were saying that Quentin's McGore was doing. He thought he'd sort of clean up my back line, but he hidden passed in, didn't swing right away. I confused him in between two dudes, and then it was stuck between an impassable pass or block, and then Scritch pings him because I confused him. He was inspired, and so from that point, I'm like, oh, man, it's like 5-2. Like, there's no way I can lose this. I immediately proceeded to lose it, like, real hard, but still.
Nice.
A little too soon.
Right. Yeah. In fact, I think I said it out loud, too.
you said out loud, there's no way I can lose this?
Well, you're right. I wouldn't be so that's bold to do bold, that.
Yeah, it does not sound in character.
I used my eyes.
Well, while you were getting shot to shreds by some forest riders, I was over playing your first round opponent, Matt, playing his Thorns. And as far as I was eventually able to discern, most of it was based around passive scoring and then powering up the Briar Queen to then go teleport around and be a murder machine in the middle of the
game. Well, that's what I said. I was right.
Yeah. So, you were correct. Our first game, Matt brought those same dice that he brought in your first game. And I think over the course of this first game of the match, he literally succeeded on one dice roll. I think there was one defensive dice roll that he passed, but otherwise failed like every attack and every other defense roll. That might be a slight exaggeration, but it's not far off. It ended up being like a 19-3 super blowout. So I was feeling pretty good. I hadn't gotten any practice against the Thorns, and so I had a bunch of cards in there that were sort of theoretical. So Mighty Swing ended up coming in big, and just the speed, being able to run down all the easy two wound guys, it seemed pretty solid. But I did recognize that I was playing against somebody who knew their stuff pretty well, or was going to play it pretty cagey, because we kicked this game off with he had a not a drifting event, Varklav's ability that pushed a bunch of chain rasps forward, and one drifted a little close. I was like, okay, well, I could use a irresistible prize to pull him in, and then I can swing at this guy with Garrick without having to charge, and I'll get some early glory, power up, head on in. It's going to be great. So I irresistible prize. He distracts me away. I distract him back, and we burned like three ploys on one of the absolutely garbage nothing chain rasps. But it was all just trying to get that snowball going, or prevent it from doing so, which is such a big part of this game. And just because I could see he was recognizing the value in that, it's like, okay, this guy's legit. He's for real. You gotta watch out. And in the second game, it was looking pretty good. I managed to score supremacy and kill a chain rasp to his keep them guessing and a martyred, but I felt like I had the stronger board position and could not close out the next round. I had Let the Blood Flow, which was it's an objective I feel pretty conflicted about. You got to score, three different fighters have to score a successful hit. I got a lot of hits, but they're all from the same fighters. And I could not get that third one to close the deal. And I could not kill a guy in his territory. I had advancing strike the whole time, and I kept on killing people in no man's land or missing them if they're in his. And so I ended up losing this game just by three. I had a pretty good clawback to keep it close. It was looking like it was going to run away from me. There was one entertaining moment near the end where I thought I could take down the Briar Queen, even though she'd kind of powered herself up. She had Deathly Fortitude, maybe some other upgrades, and I think I needed 5 damage. And the only person that could reach her was Arnulf, so that's not a good sign. But I dropped Hero Slayer on him. He's like, okay, that's cool, but I'm still fine.
There it is.
Yeah. And then I dropped Concealed Weapon on him, so I'm still only one dice. It's probably fine. You're not going to crit, but he's got to think about it. And then I threw Potion of Rage on him, and so then he's going to be 3 dice, and the crit would bump him up to 6 damage. And so we actually had to run the Briar Queen away, which protected me from losing further. And I ended up doing like the hugest attack in the world on like a random chain rasp standing against the wall. So that's how I eventually got my advancing strike, was by doing 6 damage to a chain rasp. So that was pretty solid.
All of that build up.
Yeah.
Just to kill a chain rasp.
Yeah, but it was a fun game because we had that kind of back and forth on a lot of those where the power cards, and we both kind of knew what was happening, knew what it meant, and is just watching to see what his break point was. Like, when's he going to flinch? Is he going to run away? Or is he going to say, think that he's okay and I can go for this? So, had a great time. We did not have time for a third game. So we finished that 1-1 and I was on a plus 13. Phil, we're into the wee hours of the morning. What's going on for you at this time?
So I'm going up against Adam Trunzo's Spite Claws Swarm. He was running a list, as far as I could tell, very similar to what Aaron was running. So I kind of knew what I was getting into there.
You're welcome.
Oh, yes. Well, thank you. And we'd actually played some practice matches before the tournament started, just because he was there early and wanted to just play a few rounds. And he had beat me in both of those practice rounds pretty soundly. But unfortunately, it seemed that his, unlike your opponents where their dice weren't behaving, his deck didn't seem to be behaving. He had to mulligan his first draw and then really didn't score very much throughout the rest of the games. So it was just sort of a back and forth of trying to be on objectives and pushing each other off of objectives. And I don't think either of us killed any fighters. I think it was all just the chess match of trying to stand on objectives. And I ended up sweeping it 2-0 again, just like I said, because his luck just wasn't with him in those games. And with all the movement ploys on my side and none of them on his side, it just kind of devolved into a, I'll put my guys on and then he'll try and get in there and knock me off and I'll just push him away again. And wasn't a whole lot really that he felt. I could kind of tell he was tired as well. So it was just sort of like, oh, it's like 1 a.m, everybody's exhausted, mentally it's just drained. But it was all good. He obviously, I think, had a good time. I think he was still enjoying the game, but realized that like there wasn't really anything he could do because he just didn't have the cards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes I would say often that's rougher than the dice turning against you, because at least you can always be chasing that next dice roll that really is going to work out for you this time. I just know it. But with the cards, you know, you can just look at him like, well, there's nothing I can score out of this hand or something like that. So,
yeah.
So we get to the end of the night. Aaron is 1-2. I think I'm 3-0 because my last two rounds I tied him, but had a glory differential in my favor. But the glory differential turns out, I was a fool. That only actually matters for breaking ties down the way. So I was 1-0-2, and Phil was 2-1. So Phil was the top of our pile. You ended up fourth. Is that right?
Yes, okay. That is where I ended up.
They didn't publish. I think I was right about seventh, and Aaron was something else.
Deep in the bottom half.
And then unfortunately, because actually there was us and the Rockford guys had come in just for that, and so we were not going to be there the next day for finals. So there was a ton of like swirling around, like, oh, this person's left, this person's here, who's going to be in the finals? So Phil, you're briefly looking like you might be in the finals, playing against Quentin, but, go ahead.
It was offered, but I felt like that was sort of a strange compromise, to have number 2 and number 4 face off for the first place spot. That seemed kind of strange to me. We eventually decided, I believe, that they just should do a sudden death, just one game.
Yeah.
So winner take all and just one. And I believe that Matt Thorns took it, right?
Yeah, Matt Thorns versus Quentin's McGores. They made it. They were 10-10 going into the round 3, and Matt's Thorns of the Briars took 4 more glory in that third end phase compared to just 2 from the Gore. So he took it 14-12. So congrats to him. That was super cool. And it was awesome to get to play other people than we usually play. So
I hear what you're saying. Hard not to take that personal.
Yeah. So quick look. How did you feel, Aaron, about the experience? Did you hit your goals? And if you were going to change something about that deck, is there something you would change?
So I think it did what I thought it was going to do, and I knew there were shortcomings to it. I just hadn't sort of seen the shortcomings play out, like where I hadn't played the warbands that were sort of hard counter, and so like now I got that chance. Like either way, if you're going up against a warband that just has just the numbers on you, or they blank at their side of the board, it's hard to get sneaky around them. Or if there's the warband that has the range on you, and if you just can't escape from their shots or spells or what have you, it's probably going to eat them up. So like I learned that lesson. Now I know how that works. Changes to my deck. And then I wouldn't necessarily play the deck again, or I wouldn't play it as a sort of an all comers tournament style deck. It's sort of a gimmicky one-dimensional thing, but there are a couple cards that I probably would swap out. I don't know that I ever got close to making a statement, which is maybe just my own, like I'm not thinking about covering the other side of the board's objectives as thoroughly as I should be. Not because it's a bad card, but man, I tried to cheat with Tome of Glories like constantly, like all the time. Raj caught me once for sure. I forget you have to be on an objective, which is absurd.
You have to be on an objective to take an action, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm trying to get on objectives. Why don't I ever think of that? But for the life of me, I couldn't remember that part. So I think I would just get rid of it because apparently I'm not good enough to use it. and maybe I'd focus on different ways to keep my dudes alive, a little bit more defensive upgrades. But I don't know what I would get rid of to like incorporate those. I think my key ratio is fine, or maybe it needs some tweaking. I'm not sure, but I think it was cool. It was a neat deck, and I'll always sort of keep it sleeved up. But I don't know; it's something that it's not necessarily suited to an event like this. Are we looking forward? Am I at that point yet?
We'll wrap that up at the end here.
For
me, rolling through. I think my conservative was to end in the top half, which if I did was just barely. I'd been the reach one was to get in the top four, and I was a little shaken when all of a sudden I went from 3-0 down to like 1-0-2. I was like, oh my god, like that's much worse than I thought I was doing. But I had just like, especially I had a great time playing Quentin because I knew him from before, but playing both Ryan and Matt, they're such cagey games against someone I'd never played before. It was real fun to kind of play a game against a new person, have it immediately be at that level. So that was a ton of fun. I had a good time with that. As far as the deck goes, when I was originally building it, I had this idea that I would get Garrick killed and then use a card that I eventually cut from the deck, the Rising to the Challenge, and have somebody else, Sayek or Karsis, have an extra dice, an extra wound. I eventually cut that because Garrick kept not dying, but that meant the original plan was that Garrick was going to die, so I didn't have Grizzly Trophy, this free glory if he, extra glory if he kills people. So I left that upgrade out, and that felt like a gruesome oversight. Like it was just he was killing stuff most games, either him or Sayek were doing a lot of work. So I wish I had included that, and I would easily cut Unparalleled Strike, which I had in there. Again, this is a problem with iterative deck changes. I had it in there because it seemed like a good card. This is the 2 damage, 1 dice needing a hammer attack, but any hammer or crit counts as a crit there. So you get lots of crits out of it. I was originally thinking like, oh, that comboed with Concealed Weapon or it's a ploy that gives you double damage if you
lethal strike.
There's the one. Thank you, sir. I had cut that for in favor of something else. So all of a sudden, not only did it need a combo to really do well, but it didn't have some of the most valuable combos in the deck with it anymore. I was thinking it might still be handy for killing things that had a lot of defense dice, get a boost, but it was always a dead card. Like occasionally I'd use it to trigger ready for action, and that's about the most useful it ever got. So those are kind of my big two swap outs that I would see right off the bat. But I had a lot of fun. I'm not sad I took Reavers. I like that warband a lot. Phil, How do you feel like you did, and would you make any changes going forward?
I felt pretty good. I set my goal at around the middle of the pack. I didn't really know what to expect with eyes. They hadn't been around for a huge amount of time, and internet chatter has generally been that, you know, eyes are not great, and that it's hard to use them. And so I kind of took that as a challenge, but tried to keep my expectations realistic, knowing that, I'm not going to come and blow the doors out with these guys because they are pretty tough to play with. I ended up just barely skating into top four, which is, you know, pretty good place to end up, I think, considering. Totally. For the warband, I liked my strategy. I still think it's a solid way to go with them because you have things like, of course, I'm not going to remember it now. But you know, you've got teleporting ploys, and you've got thing. You can summon the blue horror anywhere on the board, and so trying to get that coverage for grabbing objectives feels pretty easy for the eyes compared to some other warbands. So I think I liked that. I think if there's one thing I'd change, it'd probably be that I would put in a few more objectives that are sort of easy to score without having to rely on anything, you know, going my way with objective placement. There was a few games where I had to get, you know, a bunch of fighters to the way back edge of the board to try and grab three objectives, and that just meant that I was struggling because they'd block out the blue horror, and then I'd be trying to get somebody else back there. So putting in something like extreme flank probably would have been smart. I kind of kept it out of principle, thinking that I don't think that the ruling on how the card works is right. I think it's too easy to score right now, but that's sort of a dumb reason not to take a card. I would definitely switch that up a little bit if I were to play these guys again. Although right now I'm kind of burned out on the objective thing. It becomes this like constant struggle of like trying to plan out the board and plan out where all your fighters need to be, that you never get the fun of just sort of like running in there and killing guys.
Yeah. That is the fun, nerd.
Dice are Aaron's most hated foe of this game. If he could play against somebody, it would probably be the dice.
Yeah. I tossed my dice a long time ago.
So had a great time. Everybody that I played against was super great. It was just a really great group of people. I had never been to this tournament before, unlike you guys who've been there before, and so I wasn't quite sure what to expect. And everybody was super awesome. So I'm definitely planning to go again next year.
Yeah, sounds awesome. All right, so what are we doing moving forward in the next coming months? Aaron, what is your plan? Are you picking up a new warband? What is your Warhammer Underworlds looking like in the next few months?
Well, this was it. Like, I'm going on top. I don't know if you heard, but for a while there, I was like 4-1, so I was doing pretty good. No, I don't know. I think maybe I'll paint up the Steelhearts, mainly because like they were the first ones I put together, and I want to go back and actually like paint some of the bands I've assembled finally. And I've heard you guys talk enough about the potential for defensive Steelhearts that isn't just sort of passive or avoidance or you know, things like that, that maybe that would be my incremental step towards, I don't know, dice rolling, I guess. Some dice. So,
right. Let's get some dice back and forth because I got some ideas. So we'll see.
Sure.
If we can come up with something that's fun.
I'd pilot something like that.
All right.
What about you?
Well, I spent today assembling both Molags and the God's Warren Hunt. Unlike Aaron, who his first move was to binder up all his cards.
Except the store ran out of sleeves, so my ploys are just sitting here on my desk. exposed to the elements right now. Real dangerous.
Like some kind of primitive savage. I don't
know. Yeah, like the cavemen would treat their cards.
Yeah. Well, for me, I can't. I'm excited about a bunch of different warbands. Godsworn a lot, mostly because I'm not exactly sure how they work, and it sounds fun to explore that space. Only downside being that they are, at least statline wise, fairly similar to Reavers, which I just spent a lot of time doing. So maybe a different change up. But I think that's maybe where I stand now. Also, I think at least for about the next 10 minutes, I'll think about doing Slayers. And then as soon as I start trying to build a deck, I'll give up, because that's what happens every time I try to play them. I get like 3 cards in and be like, this is way too hard. I'm going to do something else that is not so hard. I think that's about where I sit. But trying to pick something, settle on it, and get some testing before Adepticon, when I'll be going down with Phil for the Grand Clash, which will be sweet.
Yeah, it should be a good time.
Yeah, and then as an aside, very happy to have made the Rockford connection. It sounds like they got a handful of guys who are just raring to go, looking to try and get games, and it sounds like they definitely travel for an event if we can get one going. So I think that'll be another thing, is trying to figure out how to what store and when to get an event going in our area here. Phil, what about you? What are you looking at?
I don't know. I picked up Malogs and Godsworn Hunt. I am super excited about both of them, but at the same time, I've been toying with Iron Skulls Boys for a while, and
I've got so tasty.
It's sort of a do something different kind of idea, where running a lot of the like ploys that can deal damage, and so running Shard Gale and Encroaching Shadows and stuff like that to try and sort of turn things on their head a little bit, get people off balance a little bit, because all of a sudden it's like, oh, you know, all your Stormcast guys now have just 2 hit points left. What do you want to come and fight orcs now?
Right. Exactly. Inspired orcs, because so, Shard Gale dropped.
Yep. So trying to figure that out. It's awfully difficult to figure out what the balance of cards should be between like loading up completely on all this plink damage and keeping like tried and tested good ploys like My Turn and Ready for Action. So it's going to need some play testing, but I think that's probably where I'm going to be for a little while. Although I think I'm going to have to bust Malog out just to give him a try.
Yeah. Speaking of which, that is our next episode. In a couple of weeks, we're going to try and cover one or both of the new warbands. Just kind of a first impression, first couple games, looking at the cards. Just give a quick take on that, since we'll have had theoretically an opportunity to try them out. So you can look forward to that. You fellas have anything else you want to cover here?
I don't think so.
All right. Oh, I do have one. I just wanted to give another shout out to Matt from My Third Round. I thought it was a very classy move. He and I don't know if he did this for you, Phil, but we were lining up to play, and he handed me his list, and he said, "Hey, I had a chance to. I actually saw your list, because we'd posted ours up as part of the podcast, and he'd come across the post and had. He says, "I've seen your list already, so I just want to be fair and upfront. You can have take a look at mine." I was like, "Oh no, that's cool. I mean, if it was me who had done that, there's no way I'd remember any of it anyway. So I'm guessing you might be the same. I don't know." So we just got started, but I thought that was a. It was a very classy move that, I would not have known one way or the other whether he'd done that. So kudos to him. That was very cool sportsmanship.
So wait, he listens to the podcast? Did I say anything mean?
Well, to be fair, I don't know if he does. I know I can say at the very least that he found our Facebook post. So
Look, when I said your dice were garbage, that's not a reflection on you, Matt.
Aaron thinks that all dice are garbage.
Yeah.
It's not yours.
Dice is a 4-letter word.
So true. All right. Well, thanks for listening. If you want to get in touch with us, it's at WTHcast on Twitter or whatthehexcast@gmail.com. You can get Aaron at
Josesos.
Yeah. We are also part of the Mortal Realms Network. I do want to give a shout out there. After our episode about community resources, there is a website. It's like wigglehammer.wordpress.com. It's a weird address to find, but what you can do is go to UnderworldsDB. There's a link in the top right, and I'll take you to their resource page. It has everything that we talked about, plus some extra stuff that we either missed or came out after the fact. It looks like he updates that constantly, so as new stuff comes out, you can find it there. Great. If you're not getting enough Underworlds content, go check that out. Aaron's special thing on Mortal Realms, you're going to throw that address out in a second, but we have all our content for all our podcasts, but Aaron has specifically curated a list of what all the promos are. So if you're wondering whether or not you have all the promos and want to know, then you sound like someone who is just as OCD as Aaron, and you should connect up with
him. It's not just me, right? Anyone? Oh, yeah. I mean, it's not the most interesting, but you can go out to themortalrealms.com/underworlds, and there's just a little spreadsheet there if you want to keep tabs on that sort of stuff, and I know you do.
So, yeah, go ahead and drop us a review if you get a chance, and thanks for listening. We'll catch you in a couple weeks' time. We talk about the new warbands. For What the Hex, I'm Davey.
I'm Phil.
And I am Aaron. As I'll ever be. How do I sound? Do I sound good?
You do.
Do I sound better than Phil?
I'm not going to pick favorites. All right.
I heard it in your tone.
All right.
Oh, my sweet ringtone that I was. Oh. Boop, 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 boop,
boop, boop. Just a little bit of it and super distorted. So it's really
so, yes.
Exactly what we're shooting for.